In a general form, as you look at the beautiful creation, we're going to talk about the benefits, helps, and limits of general revelation in the next few weeks. But you can hear God speak very specifically and related to your salvation and your growth in God, in knowing Him personally, through special revelation. That is Scripture, His Word. And yes, God does speak and guide and lead in wonderful ways, providentially and personally by His Spirit. But Psalm 19 is reminding us what Scripture says, I think, over and over again, is that God speaks primarily through His Word. And everything that we may think God is saying to us in some other way, some other fashion, must be tested by His Word, or we're going to get off pretty fast. And I'm noticing a lot of people today are getting off pretty fast. Christians deceived. Christians chasing after all kinds of rabbits of false theology. Christians, myself included, struggling with sin and struggle. And so how do we deal with all this? Do we just say, well, I'm going to dig in and keep thinking what I'm thinking? No. We need to hear God's Word. We need to constantly hear God's Word and reorient our life around hearing God's Word and be open to hear God's Word. That's what Psalm 19 is all about, and that's where we're going in this message series. A quick scan of Psalm 19. It's a praise to God who speaks to us, praising God that He has spoken. He does speak. He speaks to us in general revelation and His special revelation. He speaks to us and all people, verses 1 through 6, through His world, what He has created, and He speaks to us in terms of redeeming people and to redeem people in His Word, in Holy Scripture. In the verses 7 through 14, there are six words for the Word of God, the Scriptures. There are six qualities of the Word of God, the Scriptures. And there are wonderful results that come from the Word of God, the Scriptures. There's so much there, wonderful stuff that we unpack in the coming weeks. And then David considers his sin, notice that, and he prays related to that. So this Word of God, of course, relates a lot to the issue of our sin. And that's the summary that we're looking at. Now, David is excited about how God speaks through the world and praises God for it. But there are limits to that, and no person is going to worship and know the true and living God without special revelation. General revelation is not leading one to salvation. In fact, this is what mankind does uniformly to the word God has spoken through general revelation. We plug our ears to it. We don't want to hear it. We turn away from God, and we ignore Him. And yet God in His mercy has revealed Himself in His Word. This is special revelation. This Word that gives us this wonderful message of Jesus who came and died for sins. And how we can know God and grow in God and walk with God. And God has revealed all that to us in His Word. We're going to talk more about that. And David is really, really jazzed about this. And then he responds to this. And that's where we're going to look today. The response to the word that God has spoken. Let me share with you what I believe is the most important thing about hearing God. It is a listening heart. The most important thing about hearing God is a listening heart. And we're going to look today, Psalm 19, at hearing God speak, the heart issues behind that, the readiness of heart to hear God's word, the ruminating in one's heart upon God's word, and the response of a heart to God's word. Today we're going to look at and apply this concluding prayer of Psalm 19, verse 14. We're taking this all the way to the end. It is the heart reality of that readiness, the ruminating, and the responding that really in many ways we can cover kind of over the entire psalm when we hear God speak, as we hear God speak. In order that we do hear God speak, these heart issues are so essential. Psalm 19, verse 14. This is the prayer of David in response to hearing the word. He sings this. He says this. And as we hear God's word, we sing this. We say this. Our heart reality. We pray this prayer, or at least a prayer like this in reality. So we hear God's word, as we hear God's word, when we have heard God's word. God speaks primarily through the scriptures. And the most important heart of reality is this listening. Let the words of my mouth, David's prayer is, and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Let's look first at the readiness to hear God's word. There's sort of a pre-qualification, a prerequisite for hearing God biblically, and I believe that's reflected here even in this psalm. It is that you know God personally. That you know God personally as Redeemer is a prerequisite, a pre-qualification. Imagine if you wanted to buy a house and you go to be pre-qualified, a prerequisite, and you said, I have no job, no money, no savings, no income, no assets, no cosigner. Such is our situation, trying to hear God speak. The sin problem has gummed up the whole thing, and we cannot hear God. We're just going to make up stuff and say it's God or think it's God or go off on crazy things that isn't God unless we come to know God personally as Redeemer. And the pre-qualifier here is reflected in how it is David hears and what God's word offers us through the gospel and what Jesus gives us by his finished work on the cross. Look with me at Psalm 19, verse 14, at the end there. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. David doesn't end there. He calls out to God. And first and foremost, we need to note the personal or covenant name of God is the name he's using here. In the first four verses, speaking of general revelation, the general name of God is mentioned. In the verses speaking of Scripture, God's special revelation, the personal covenant name of God, in your translation, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, Yahweh, spoken as the Hebrew people as Adonai because of the respect for the divine name, translated in the New Testament as Greek as Kurios, and applied to the person of Jesus. All this, though, the personal covenant name of God is here because David knows God through that revelation in Scripture. God has revealed himself to David and the people of Israel and through Christ to all who believe the gospel. We can know him personally. Notice David does not say, O Lord, who is a rock and redeemer, or who is like a rock and redeemer, the source of strength in the storms of life, the redeemer from the sins of life. David knows personally, he says, my rock and my redeemer. There's the readiness to hear, the pre-qualification. Now David hears, coming to know God by a personal response of faith as his own personal redeemer and knowing God through God's revelation in the covenant and in the scriptures. And this then is the prerequisite for us as well. It's a gospel reception that opens our ears to hear the word of God, to hear God speak. That word redeemer, my rock and my redeemer, think of that. The New Testament speaks often of Jesus as our redeemer. He redeems a people by his blood, his finished work on the cross, Ephesians 1:7. Jesus provides his life to redeem those who believe in him, Galatians 3:13, Titus 2:14. We could look at many scriptures. Jesus then has provided that which sets us free from the penalty of sin when we believe in him. He is our redeemer. He sets us free from the power of sin. He is our redeemer. And although we still struggle with the pull of sin, we're going to talk more later about how Scripture addresses that as well. As David here, in this context, notice previous verses, a lot of awareness of sin, and yet he knows he is redeemed. He knows that God is his rock. Imagine you have a computer that's all gummed up with all kinds of viruses, malware, dysfunction of various kinds, and the thing just doesn't function. That's sort of the human heart and mind, an illustration right there. And what the gospel does, what Jesus does by his finished work on the cross, is to offer us this wonderful gift, and there's a button put before us, and it says, click here now by receiving Jesus by faith to restore this thing, to clean this mess up, to make you right with God, forgiven, and all that gummed up mess. And if you've never received Jesus, that I want you to picture that button there right now and realize, oh, I can click now, faith in him, and he restores. And if you have received Jesus, remember, that's what he did. And that restoration, that redemption then gives you now the pre-qualification to actually hear God. We're going to talk more. David speaks to God as his rock and his redeemer, and therefore all these wonderful things about God's word are true for him. The voice of God is something he can hear. And of course, we're not talking the literal voice of God. We're talking how God has spoken in his word. And of course, I believe in the guiding, directing, and power of the Holy Spirit. But it is primarily God speaking to us as he speaks through his spirit by his word. Everything is judged by the clear, necessary, sufficient, and authoritative voice of God, speaking of God in Holy Scripture. Psalm 19 is reminding us of that. I want us to look at a couple scriptures Jesus speaks about how being redeemed opens our ears to hear the voice of God. John chapter 10, verse 27, Jesus said, in this context here, he's speaking about believers being truly secure in him who has died for them. My sheep, he says, listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. John chapter 8, verse 47, in the context here, he's speaking about those religious leaders who refuse to come to Jesus. He says, whoever is of God hears the words of God. The reason you do not hear them is you don't belong to God. If you're not hearing God, it's because you don't know God. How do you know God? Faith in Jesus. If you believe in Jesus, you do hear God. That's the prerequisite, the pre-qualification, readiness to hear God's word. Of course, that applies to all kinds of areas of life, and that's where we not only talk about salvation, the beginning of that journey, but we talk about that lifelong growing in him, serving him, where we're resisting the pull of sin. And we're growing in by God's power and his spirit in serving him in a way that honors him. And the second aspect of this heart issue is ruminating on God's word. Ruminating means to think deeply upon something. This is the lifelong pursuit, the daily pursuit of every believer. To ruminate on God's word, to think deeply about God's word. Not say, oh, I got a couple scriptures, I'm good to go. No, you're going to veer off course. Always thinking deeply upon Scripture, taking it in daily, growing together with God's people in community, being part of a small group where you're opening God's word, giving attention to proclamation of God's word and gathering together with God's people. This is something we got to be like, this is what we always are doing. David describes this process of hearing in this verse. And that heart response of ruminating on God's word. And he specifically asks the Lord in this little prayer. This is a wonderful prayer that we can say and reflects a heart reality that should be an ongoing part of our life. He asks the Lord to shape his mouth's words and the meditations of his heart. And the heart here is not the organ that pumps blood. The heart here is the spiritual, volitional control center. The part of you inside of you that's controlling how you choose to respond to God, life, others, etc. That's David saying, Lord, shape this. Shape this in light of your word, by your word, through your word. As I open your word, shape my mouth's words and the meditations of my heart, which of course are going to direct everything from there. Attitudes, actions, choices, speech, relational responses, affections, etc., etc. The whole thing shaped by that control center. Let the words of my mouth, he says, be acceptable in your sight. As I open your word, use your word to shape my words. Words have great power. My words, your words, have great power to harm and to bless, to honor God and to dishonor God. And thinking of God's words, David's saying, I want my words to align with God's words, to be shaped by God's words, and I want to ruminate on God's word in a way that shapes my words. I want to ruminate on God's words in a way that directs my heart in a way that honors him. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart. Biblical meditation is not emptying the mind. Biblical meditation is filling the mind with God's word. It's filtering everything through the truth of God's word. So how are you going to stay on track and know that's wrong and that's wrong and that's wrong? That one's going that way and that one's going that way. How do you know this? Not by giving attention to what everybody's saying or what's coming from within, but giving attention to God's word. Meditation of my heart that shapes our spiritual life, our choices, our mind, even our affections, and attitudes and emotions. By those meditations of my heart. David's praying related to that because he's processing to take in the word, take in the word, take in the word. And this then lays down for us a model of what it means to hear God speak, to ruminate on the word of God continuously, to make that a part of my life. Not say, oh, I got a couple scriptures and I'm good to go, but daily taking in God's words. As David thinks about his own control center, as we think about ours, he's exhorting us to do what he's doing, which is to take in God's word. Yes, God guides us providentially. Yes, God guides us by the personal work of his spirit. Yes, it's important to have counsel and community. God can open doors. We can talk about all those things. But primarily, we must continually give attention to the objective, revealed word of God, the scriptures, the once for all faith delivered to the saints. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 17 says, this scripture, God's word, is sufficient to equip the man or woman of God for every good work. J.I. Packer, in his classic, Knowing God, says this related to guidance. He says, earnest Christians seeking guidance often go wrong about it. Why is this? Often the reason is their notion of the nature and method of divine guidance, which is distorted. They look for a will-o'-the-wisp. They overlook the guidance that is ready at hand. And they lay themselves open to all kinds of delusions. Their basic mistake is to think of guidance as essentially inward prompting by the Spirit apart from the written word. This, he says, is a seedbed in which all forms of fanaticism and folly can grow. Everything needs to be tested again and again and again and again, including even the things that we think are the Holy Spirit leading me, by the revealed Word of God. Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. And David comes with that hard attitude of ruminating again and again on the Scriptures. Matthew 6:10, where Jesus' model prayer says, "Your will be done," is sort of a New Testament corollary. It's saying, Lord, I want what you want more than what I want what I want. Ephesians 5:10 gives us sort of a similar New Testament exhortation. It says, try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Lord, I want to know and do what is pleasing to you, and by your word guide me so that I can discern that. Ruminating on God's word, a hard attitude of ruminating on God's word, enables us to not only hear in a way that we know God personally as we receive salvation, but continue to hear, be directed, guided, so we stay on track, grow in our salvation, and honor God in the midst of all the issues and struggles of life. Psalm 19 is a part of the hymn book of Israel, the hymn book of the Christian church. The Psalms are a book of praise. And so responding to the word is also connected to hearing God's word. There's a heart response to God's word, having heard God's word, that is the kind of heart prayer, heart reality that we pray as we hear God's word. We pray this and we respond like this because we've heard God's word, and God's word leads us to praise God. As we were singing that song about in every situation, singing praise to God, I'm saying, okay, if you're not always wanting to sing praise to God, it's because you're not hearing God, or not hearing God from this heart of wanting to praise God. The response to hearing God is praising God. When you know God, you want to praise Him. When you hear God by His word, you seek to please Him. And David had received God's mercy, come to know God. He heard God's word. He celebrates that. He invites us to praise God. And of course, praising God for His word is a part of that. But in every aspect of our life, we seek to praise God. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. That word acceptable in Hebrew is a sacrifice term. It's a worship term. It's saying, let my whole life be pleasing to you as an act of worship. When you set your GPS or your car's navigation device to where you want it to take you, hopefully it takes you there. When you're opening God's word and hearing God speak, you know where God's word is taking you? It's always taking you to pleasing and honoring God. So let that be your prayer. Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart, every attitude, every response to you and others in life and in every situation, be acceptable in your sight. Let me be pleasing to you, O Lord. This psalm is a psalm of one praised, redeemed man, but it's a call for all the redeemed to join in the praising. And that's where God takes us when we hear His word. I hope that you're making a priority of worship personally and corporately. I hope that we're all making a priority of hearing God speak in the Scriptures individually and together. I hope as you think of your reading program that you're thinking first and foremost about the Scripture and how you're taking that in your life. And let's talk about a response today. First is, if you're hearing these words and you've never heard this word of God offering you life through salvation in Jesus. Or if you're hearing this word today and you've heard it, but you've resisted and you said, I'm not going to hit that response. I'm not going to hit that response. I'm not going to hit that response. My prayer today, you would say yes and receive the gospel of Jesus Christ. And thereby know him personally and forgiveness and freedom from the penalty of sin and the power of sin. And God's Spirit's power and working related to the pull of sin. And of course, God's word says this message. Jesus came, died for your sins so you may know him. Receive that message today. And then the second response is to rely on Scripture. For those of you who know Jesus, I'm glad you know Jesus. Now rely on Scripture. Hearing God is foremost an ongoing attention to God's clear and authoritative Scripture. We'll talk more about other dynamics of that in the coming weeks. I'm so excited about this. You know, I want you to go back to that computer, the illustration that, you know, was all gummed up and you clicked restore, praise Jesus, I know him. But you know as well as I do, there's all kind of spiritual malware, viruses, scams, lies, spam that are coming at you, your mind, your heart. It's coming at us constantly. So what do? God's word is the spam, spiritual spam, malware, viruses, protective device. You have to pick it up. Think about it constantly and test everything by it. God has not left you as a victim to say, oh, I'm just going to take in all this junk. No, God's word is the resource. So we have to vigilantly read Scripture, open Scripture, submit to Scripture, and pray this kind of hard prayer. Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart constantly be sifted by your word, your truth, the ongoing attention to the clear, authoritative Scripture is how we hear God speak. And then rejoice in Jesus, this wonderful gift. God has revealed in Holy Scripture what God has done in history is that by the death of Jesus, he saves, he's rescued. He's redeemed. He's provided a rock in the storms of life to you if you've personally received him. And the Lord's Supper celebrates that. The Lord's Supper looks back at that great event with praise to Jesus and asks God to open our hearts and to reveal to us those things that we need to confess to him that have been covered by that great sacrifice as we grow in conformity to having our lives, hearts, minds, actions, everything aligned with the Word of God. We invite each one who has personally received Jesus to partake in the Lord's Supper. Today we got the little packets here. If you're at home, please find some elements there that you can partake with us together. This is a time of examination and confessing as we have heard God's word. It's a time of resolve and commitment as we continue to listen to God's word. It's a time to praise Jesus for his finished work on the cross as we remember his once for all death, whereby we are forgiven and now we hear God. Praise be to his name. Psalm 19, verse 14, let it be your prayer. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable, pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, what an amazing gift you've given. You gave yourself for us. Lord, what an amazing message. What good news. The summary of the scriptures. That though we sinned and our control system was all messed up, we couldn't hear you speak and didn't want to, you in your mercy sent Jesus chose a people for your name's glory. You redeemed through the cross and by a personal response of faith. We've been set free. You are our rock and our redeemer. Lord, in the midst of this troubled world and all the troubles of our own condition, Lord, our struggles, God, we are so thankful that you've not only redeemed us, but you've revealed to us in your word. You speak to us through your word by your Spirit, Lord. You guide us according to your word, Lord. Help us to give proper attention to it. May our heart attitude, Lord, be one of, Lord, let my words be shaped by your words. Let my heart meditations constantly be shaped by your word. God, may we be as individuals and as a people shaped and molded more and more to be pleasing to you, to faithfully serve you, advance your work, declare your glorious gospel, represent you, Lord, in a way that points to your great mercy, that you are our rock and our redeemer. We thank you, Lord, and pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.